We're going to start off with a little video, so to introduce our sermon today. So if we get the technology working, we'll see if it works.
Interesting to me that I first began to formulate it this way one day, well over 20 years ago, on having a hair.
Worship is so important. I'm a Christian. I go to a local church just down the corner from here. I said, I find that
because we don't use that word very often outside of the context of the church. She said, that is the word. And let me explain to you who I think the Savior is. So that then began this long conversation about who Jesus Christ was. He came into this world free of sin and death. And then on the cross, he takes on the force of the sin and death. He dies for us. He becomes the curse for us. He becomes sin for us. He's raised to new life. He conquers over this. He opens this new life. She takes notes on the whole thing. And at the end, she said, what should I do about this? I said, well, you can't sit on the fence forever. You must make a decision. So I went home and I told my wife what had happened that day. We got down on our knees in our front room and we prayed for this lady. Now, I was then thinking, how do I follow her up? So 2 weeks later, I went back for a second haircut. I've never had such short hair in my whole life. As a matter of fact, when I walked in, she didn't even ask if I wanted a haircut. I walked into the shop. She said, Michael, I will cut your hair. She sat me in the chair, put the thing around me, picked up her comb and scissors, looked at me and said, do you remember the conversation we had 2 weeks ago? And I said, I sort of remember what you said. She said, well, I went home and I told my husband everything you told me. I thought this would be interesting. Because as I understand it, I shared the whole gospel with her. That's exactly what I did in an hour and 15 minutes. And so I looked at her and thought, what did your husband say? And this funny expression came over her face. Her mouth got filled. And she said, he told me I was preaching at it. Well, of course she was preaching at it. They both get home from work, they sit down for dinner, out comes the notebook. Do you know in life you're not made happy by what you acquire, but by what you appreciate? It's not that you have nothing to be grateful for. You have no one to be grateful to. That's why worship is so important. There's a lot of evil out there, but what about the evil in here? There's nothing you can do about it, and the Bible calls it sin. That's why you need a Savior. I mean, now, she appears to be so open to the gospel, and he appears to be so closed. Why? And the answer is, she was asking a question. That statement, there must be more to life than this, is not a statement. It's a question, it's a cry of the heart. Is there anything else out there? And that day, I learned a radical new way of sharing the gospel called talking to other people.
Video. I have. I can get you links to that. It's quite an interesting video. But I wanted to use this because of that first line in there where it talked about where the person in the hairdressing salon said, but there must be more to life than this. There must be more to life than this. And then he goes on to say, in life, we're not happy by what we acquire, but by what we appreciate. By what we appreciate. And then the next line says, the trouble we have today is not that we feel that there's nothing to be grateful for, but that we feel there's nothing, no one to be grateful to. And so you have this in life, there are things that make you happy, and in life there's this idea of appreciation or worship. And those two are very, very much interconnected. And so the question is, what do we have to appreciate, be thankful for, and do we have the opportunity or do we take the opportunity to be thankful to the one that has given it all? Thanksgiving is finding ways to express our gratefulness, our gratitude, and our love to God in worship and obedience. So these things are kind of connected. These words are kind of connected when we talk about thanksgiving, when we talk about a loving response, when we talk about worship, and when we talk about obedience. They're all intertwined, interconnected, and very much a part of each other. But the first thing we need to do in order to be thankful for, we're talking with the young people today, and he said an author or the video talked about the fact that the universe is this box, and God is outside the box, and God made the box, and God is working in the box. The box is the universe. And too many people try to find happiness all inside the box of the physical universal reality. And truly happiness does not come from, you're unable to find true happiness inside the box. You might find a little bit of happiness or joy for a moment, but real happiness comes when we look outside the box. And that starts the first step of thanksgiving, is to recognize that there is a God, and that He is God. So many times, I have fun in Sabbath school, folks. I'm sorry, I just enjoy it too much. But I was asking the young people, well, when do we ask the really important questions in life? When do we sit around wondering, well, who am I? Why am I here? And no, we're living our lives. We're busy. We don't ask those really important questions. And it's not until we come to a crisis in our life that we start asking, well, is there a God? Is He involved in my life? Does He care? Do I have a purpose in life? And first thing when we asked those questions, one popped up and said, well, when someone dies, then we start asking those questions. When we're in a crisis, then we start asking those questions. And the problem is we wait until then to ask the questions. We need to start asking the important questions now. And we need to start thinking about, well, why am I here? What is my purpose? What does God want me to do? What is my life about? And what is really important to me? And so we kind of live our life, and those things happen that in life, a crisis, and then we start asking the questions, and we haven't thought about them. We haven't figured out what the answers are. First step in thankfulness, and I have seven, is to recognize God. That's the first step. Recognize who He is. Sometimes a crisis will bring us to that recognition, by the way. Hopefully it isn't too big a crisis. Hopefully it isn't too painful a crisis, because God always wants us to come to Him, doesn't He? He wants us to run to Him. He wants us to depend on Him. He wants to work and walk in our lives. But it's usually the crisis. But anyhow, Isaiah came to this crisis in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on the throne, and His train of His robe filled the temple, and above Him were seraphim, a type of angelic being. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they did fly. And they were calling one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the sound of their voices, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the thresholds shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. A realization, a vision, an understanding of the glory and might and power and the reality of a living God shakes the foundations of who we are, if we've been living without Him. And then when we see and perceive and recognize His holiness, then we realize, hey, He's God, I'm not. He's Almighty, I'm very, very dependent on life's circumstances. and have no control over them. He is righteous to the core, and I look inside of me and I don't see that as much or sometimes at all. He says, woe is me. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I am in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord. We don't have much reverence today. We used to be, everybody had a suit and tie when you come to church. You remember that, Harry? He's still there. And I'm not saying we need to dress up in the fanciest stuff we got, but you know, there used to be you were quiet in the sanctuary. There used to be that when someone was praying, everybody kind of was listening and reverent. And today it's kind of, oh, hi, how are you? You know, it's kind of a more casual. And I'm not saying that it isn't bad to be friendly or that it's bad to be friendly. It's just we lost a little bit of something of the awe of the Almighty God. And I think that's a loss, a respect and honor. And Isaiah felt this. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal from the in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he said, now your sin is cleansed. Of course, we could talk about all that means with the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and he forgives our sins. In a little different picture with the cross, but it's the same idea. First step to holiness is seeing and recognizing God as God. First step to thanksgiving. The second step is brokenness. We've seen a little bit of that. But pride will not let you be thankful. The more you think, I'm self-sufficient, I can do it on my own, I don't need help, I don't need to, my dad used to say that Christianity was just somebody that was weak for somebody that was weak. It's true. Somebody that recognizes their need, recognizes their weakness, recognizes that circumstances in life don't always play our way, do they? They don't always benefit us, do they? Circumstances in life can be very painful and very difficult. But there needs, in order to be thankful, we have to have a certain amount of humility. Certain amount of humility. A lot of humility is what we need, but at least a certain amount. In 2 Chronicles, this humility is coming out in a prayer. It says, the Lord appeared to me the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer. He prayed for wisdom. And have chosen, this is Solomon, prayed for wisdom, and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. And when I shut up the windows, or shut up the heavens so that there is no rain. In Alabama, there has not been rain for 2 months. Areas, and the fires are starting, and things died, and everything like that. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and command the locusts to devour the land. Any problems with varmints that get a hold of your crops sometimes and you have to spray or whatever. And devour the land and send a plague among the people. If my people, here's the humility, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now the eyes of the Lord will be open and their ears the eyes of the Lord will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Do you realize that you have access to the Almighty God, but you can only come when your heart is humbled before Him? You can only come with open hands asking. You can't. You have nothing to give Him that He needs. Only if you come with open heart, open listening mind, a humble heart, then He can hear your prayer. Because the fact is, as long as our hearts are hardened, He will not hear our prayers. There has to be that brokenness. Look how Jesus put it in the New Testament. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him. He began to teach them, and He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," or broken in spirit. That's the only way. A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not refuse is what David's prayer included whenever he was broken before God and cried out to Him. It says, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn." It's not when you're having your big... there's a bailiwig. When you're doing your thing and having fun, that's not when we seek the Lord, is it? We should. When everything's going smooth. "Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, for they shall be filled." Humility before God was expressed in the Old Testament. In fact, when you get to the Ten Commandments, it's kind of woven into the fabric of the first two commandments. It says there, "And the Lord spoke all these things, words, I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Now here's the key. "You shall not make yourself an image in any form of anything in heaven above, or earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down." We don't do much bowing today. Some churches have a little bench or something that you can kneel on in front of you. But we hardly kneel for our prayers at church. Maybe as we get older, it's kind of more creakier to get there and maybe afraid I won't be able to get up. You know, that's kind of, if I stay too long, I can't hardly walk sometimes. But we don't think of that. But bowing down is also not just bowing down your knees, but bowing down your heart. And that's that recognition of God. And that's the brokenness before God. And that's the showing of respect. When we talk about thanksgiving, that humility needs to be there. "Bow down to them or worship them. You shall not bow down and worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, punishing." And by the way, He isn't jealous like we're jealous. He's jealous because you're made in the image of God and you belong to Him, and He loves you and wants you back. That's the jealousy. And He knows that if you're going after those other gods or other things, those other things will never quite satisfy, and those other things will ultimately destroy you because you haven't sought the first thing. The first thing is God. "You shall have no other gods before me. I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation, but showing love to thousands of them who... a thousand generation of those who love me and keep my commandments." You know, this idea of bowing down, sometimes words are translated as different things. In the King James Version, the idea of bowing down, Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, how do I show reverence to God? What is it I do? Bowing your head's a good thing. That's one of the things that they bowed down. Bowing your head to the ground is a good thing. That's one of the ways they bowed down, because they had such reverence and respect and honor to God. And we all have our ways, and we know what they are. We know what they are to show reverence to God. I used to go visiting, still do, but one time when I was visiting, the soap opera was on. And it never got turned off. And I was looked at like I was interrupting something important. Now, maybe I needed to think when I went to visit somebody, but the point is, when we show respect to somebody, we actually listen to what they say, don't we? When we have respect for somebody, we stop what we're doing to listen to what they say. I like it sometimes, or I don't like it, I guess, whenever you sit around and talking to somebody and they're... Anyone guilty? Anyone that'll admit they're guilty? You know, you're not as important as what I'm doing right here. And so whenever we talk about thankfulness, we're talking about respect and honor of God. Whenever this word bow down is used in the King James, it's translated 98 times as worship. So whenever you think of worship, you got to stop what you're doing, or you got to set aside time. That's why we come to church on Sabbath. We're setting aside time for the Lord. That's why we have times of prayer. You carve out, because I'll tell you what will happen if you don't carve out time. What happens? Every minute, every second gets filled. You got to carve it out. You got to be jealous of that time. You got to segregate that time. You got to get rid of stuff that's distracting you during that time. You cannot have, no man can have two masters. And for Steve Kiner, he doesn't have but a one-track mind. And when the TV's on, he can't pray because he's watching the TV. Maybe you're better than I. Or whenever two people are talking, I can't listen to them both at the same time. My wife can do all that stuff. I can't. But when it comes to God, let His train fill your one-track mind so that it's filling you and you're honoring Him. One, two, and three, recognizing God, brokenness before God, and humility before God, bowing down and worshiping. Four, five, and six, and seven have to do with how we respond, what ways we respond. Whenever different ones had an encounter with God, what did they do? It'd be good to look through the Bible and say, well, what happened when somebody encountered God? What did they do? Remember what Jacob did? What did he do? He set up a rock that he was laying his head on as a pillar and said, this is going to be the house of God. He's here and I didn't even know it. And whenever others, they would offer a sacrifice. What do you do in the presence of God? What is your response? And so the other word in the Ten Commandments is to serve. Bow down means reverence. Serve means to do, doesn't it? With other people taking the time or whatever is really important, but do we really have the gratitude, the gratefulness to enter this time of Thanksgiving? Of course, Thanksgiving would be good to have all the time. But the other word is serve. Sometimes it's translated worship. But in some places, it's translated to, in one of the dictionaries or one of the things that gives a definition of words. It means to labor, to work, to do, to work for another, to serve another. So when we talk about God and not serving, what is that? Is that a disconnect, isn't it? How can you say you love me? You don't do the things I say. If a man hears my words and does them, happy is he. He's like a man that built his house upon a rock. And so obedience and service, as far as what we know and learning more what it means to serve God, is important. Every one of us, if you want to be thankful, you won't do the things that, if you're thankful to somebody, you want to do something that is along the lines of what they like, what they think, who they are. Thankfulness goes more than just kind of ritualistically doing things, but doing it from the heart. That's why Jesus, when he said, it's not just that you legalistically, ritualistically do these things, but they are coming from your heart. It's what you want to do. Number five, we mentioned sacrifice. The other thing is giving. How do I know that I'm thankful? When my heart and my, whenever I can freely, really give to something or somebody, that's when I know my heart is open. If we look down at 2 Corinthians, it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace of God has come, that the grace of God has come to Macedonia, or given to Macedonian churches. In the midst of their very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity." It's easy to give when you got lots of money, isn't it? It's easy to help when you got lots of time. But what about when you don't have much, or you're having a struggle, or you're really busy? You know? And so thankfulness, appreciation comes when those tough times are there, not just the easy times. Giving. The next verse, Jesus sat down opposite to the place where the offerings were being put in and put and watched, and the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury, and many rich people threw large amounts in, but the poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth about a few cents, maybe in our day a few dollars, who knows. And calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, and he knew that all of them saw this, "And truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasure than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty and put in everything." You know, when it comes, I'm not saying we have to clear out our bank accounts. That's not what I'm talking about. But can you honestly say, "Yes, I've given my best to the Master. Yes, I've done my very, very best." You know, maybe I can't sing, but I sang just as well as I practiced and I prepared, and I sang just as well as I could possibly sing. Or I helped out at the church work day. I didn't know much technical stuff, but I just did everything I knew how to do. You see my point? Have we given our best to the Master? Whenever we have a true grateful heart, we give our best. When our heart is truly thankful, when our heart is really overwhelmed with thanksgiving, we love our best. Not just our leftovers, but our very, very best. Thankfulness is expressed also in fellowship. Thanksgiving is expressed in fellowship. Do you love to be with the people of God? Or do you get irritated at that little quirk they have. A lot of times we overlook things because we don't want to be mean, or we do care about somebody, whichever way it is. But do you love fellowship? Do you love the people of God? Do you care how they feel? Do you care how your words make them feel? Do you care if they're struggling? Do you care if they're having a really tough time? Do you care if they have a problem they just can't figure their way out of? Does anyone have a problem they have a hard time figuring their way out of? It says, let us consider one another, Hebrews 10, how we may provoke in the King James, one another toward love and good deeds. How can we encourage and spur and provoke and bring a person into a better place? Not giving up on meeting together, as some have the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. The day of the Lord is coming. And as it's approaching, we need to be there for each other. Finally, Thanksgiving is doing it from the heart or with all your heart. Have you ever had somebody do something for you that they were resentful about? Honey, will you take out the trash? Angie's laughing, either inside or out. But true thanksgiving is when it's not just a burden, not just an inconvenience, but it's a joy to serve. A joy to serve. And especially when you're watching your favorite football game, right, Tim or Dave? He's doing laundry while he's watching the game. Anyway, what, you know, it's when you're doing something you want to do, and it's inconvenient. And they've asked you 100 times to do it. And they could do it themselves. Can anybody identify with this on either end? Either the giving or asking or receiving end? With a joyful heart. With a joy. And we have to kind of work our minds sometimes around that, but with a joy. What we do for the Lord needs to be with a joy. What we do for others needs to be with a joy. What we do that's inconvenient needs to be with a joy. You'll have joy unspeakable. You know, the thing about God, whenever we're talking about the things of God and the things we do for others, there needs to be a spirit of worship. Hey, don't come up here and sing with a scowl on your face. Try to smile a little bit. You know? It usually happens in a group. Usually you get a group of people up and they're kind of looking at their paper. I'm not picking on any group, by the way. Don't take this. I'm not thinking about anybody. Okay? But can't we have a joy? Can't we have a praise? Can't we have excitement about the Lord? Oh, boy, I get to go to church today. Not that I have to go to church today. We need to dig deep and find that reason that we're here, that reason of what God did in our life, that reason for our love for Him, and find it and wear it. That's Thanksgiving. The word enthusiasm means filled with God. Being filled with God means being enthusiastic about what you do. Do it with all your might and with all your heart. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let these things here praise the Lord with it. That's what he says in Psalm 150. The timbrel, David danced for joy and praise. Romans chapter 1 is a good verse for a lot of things. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but rather to think soberly, or rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith of God that God has distributed to each of you. You know, worship is so important. Thanksgiving and being thankful is so important. And please don't take what I say as downing or judgmental or anything like that. I just want to pick us up to a higher level. You know? Just that next level, that better place that we can enjoy in the Lord. And so I just want you to know that I love you, and I know you care about me, and so when we're preaching, we're trying to aim higher and better. Because I know that when you worship God and he loves you back, that's going to be better. Right? Giving thanks is being grateful. Being grateful is appreciating not only what someone has done, but also who they are. As it relates to God, it's actually just loving him back. Gratitude is finding ways to express that appreciation. Gratefulness is ways that we can express that thanksgiving. As it relates to God, it's praise and worship and obedience. To appreciate someone is to care about them and what they care about. When you care about what they care about, you look for ways to accomplish what they care about. And as that relates to God, that's obedience from the heart. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm, is it onward bound? Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's turn to that song. It is number 93. Stand as we sing. I'm pressing on.